We have spoken for many weeks, I believe, long about eight at this point, on faith. And today I would like to speak to you about a different part of faith that we deal with every day, whether we realize it or not. Now, faith, we know, is the very basis of our hope, or what we earnestly expect. Faith is the assurance that what we expect will come to pass. Faith is only as strong as its object. If I put my faith in something unsure, I have no real reason to expect that it's going to come to pass. Amen. We've all said that we have faith in our friends, but how often do they let us down? Because they're only as good as they are. And our faith in them is only as good as they are. Only as strong as they are. But when our faith is in Jesus Christ, we have no reason to doubt that His promises will come to pass. There's no reason to doubt, because the object of our faith is God Almighty. It is the Omnipotent One, the Supreme God, that never changes. That when He says something, it stands firm and it will come to pass. And no one could say, "What are you doing?" I mean, they do say that, but they can't, in reality, question God. Amen. Or what He does. But there are many things that happen to us in this life that try our faith. You know, that word trial came up several times in the songs that were selected today. And at one point it overwhelmed me. That the trial of our faith is something that happens to us to a greater or lesser degree daily. Now, I want to turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. I had a mind to start in verse 6, but I think I'm going to back up a little and just read starting in verse 2 for time's sake. Elect, the people he was writing to, he considered them elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now that is a mouthful. It is a heartful. But I want us, because we're talking about the trial of faith and things that afflict us and torment us daily, I want you to realize that Peter says that that the trial of our faith, being much more precious than gold, of gold that perisheth. He's not talking about the trial being precious, but the faith being precious. That even though you go, that faith is tried, that faith is precious. You know why it's precious? It's because it is the basis of the anchor of your soul. Amen. That faith is the evidence that you've been born of God. That faith is precious because it came from the Spirit and was given to you. It came from God and was delivered to you by the Spirit of God. It's precious because it's a godly characteristic, and it's the only thing that will get us through this life. Amen. Now, he says that it's precious, but it's tried. And this tried means that it is, and he uses the example of gold being tried in the fire. So in the same way that gold is tried in the fire for the purpose of removing impurities. Do you know the process? Well, they put gold into a vat and they heat it up so that it melts. And when it, and the more they heat it up, the more the impurities rise to the top, because the impurities are lighter than the gold. The gold is heavier, and the impurities boil to the top. You know, when you boil peas or something, the real peas stuff stays at the bottom, and the stuff, the husks and all that, comes to the top, and you skim it off. And what's left is the pure gold. The impurities are skimmed off. And do you know that the Bible has reference of gold purified 7 times? That means that it's going to be tried more than once. So the trial in our lives is continuous. And it's an ongoing process of removing the impurities from our lives and from our minds. But I want you to realize that our faith is more precious than gold that's tried in the fire. So the more times that gold is tried, the less tainted it gets. And by the same example, the more times that our faith is tried, the more pure it ought to become. When we keep it in the right perspective, you know, Paul, go read what Paul wrote about it in chapter 5. He says, I joy in tribulations, because tribulations worketh patience. Patience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now, I want us to think about this in terms also of what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You remember, we're talking about faith as a foundation, and Jesus Christ being the object of that faith as the foundation of our faith. And Paul says, nobody can really lay any other foundation than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. That means the light. The daytime shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Paul says the fire's coming. Don't think because you are a follower of Christ that you will not be tried. Amen. Don't think because you're a follower of Christ that everything is going to be easy for you. I want you to realize that the fire is coming, and what you build upon the foundation of Christ matters. And let's look at the building materials that we've got over here. He says, gold, silver, and precious stones. Wood, hay, and stubble. Now, what does fire do to gold, silver, and precious stones? The only thing that it could do would be purify them. It can't take away the gold, it can't take away the silver, it can't take away the precious stones, but what does fire take away and consume? It takes away wood and hay and stubble, and all that you're left with is ashes at most. But the foundation remains in either case. Whatever you build on that foundation is tried by fire, but the foundation remains. I want us to realize that Peter says that the trial of our faith is coming. I don't know whether you take the trial to be precious or not. On one level, it's grievous to be tried. But when it's found to glorify God, it's precious then, isn't it? It's precious then. Now, to some degree or other, your faith is on trial every day. I want us to think about that. It's when we say that our faith is tried, and we say, "Boy, you're trying my patience," or "You're trying my faith." That means you're testing it. And that is a great deal of what it means to have our faith tried. We're tested. I want us to think about it in a little bit to be tested in a little bit different way. I want us to think about our faith being on trial. And I want us to imagine a courtroom. In that courtroom, there's the judge. And you are called to the witness stand. And for your faith, to be on trial, that means you are on trial. What you witness and your testimony comes out of your mouth, and it's not talking about somebody else's faith, it's talking about yours. I want us to realize that tragedies, accidents, loss of life, all manner of persecutions and general and afflictions and general opposition of the kingdom of God tries our faith and puts our faith on trial every day. You're called to the witness stand. For examination and cross examination. Do you get that? Who examines? It's the defense. Who cross examines? It's the prosecution. But I want us to realize that in a courtroom, the defendant's lawyer or the spirit, while we're thinking about this courtroom, I want you to picture yourself on that witness stand, and your faith is on trial. Now, in a courtroom, the way that it goes is the defendant's lawyer examines first. In our case, who is your lawyer? It's the Spirit. That's what He's called. The Comforter. The Advocate. That means in the Greek word for it is paraclete, and it means legal counsel and aid. The defendant and your lawyer stands up and examines you first. And the first thing that he and what he does, any good defense lawyer, is going to set down some foundational principles and facts that they're going to start from. And the first thing that your lawyer tells you is that you're God's. That's what he tells the courtroom. He says, "He's mine. And I love him." And then he's cross-examined by the accuser of the brethren, Satan stands up and says to you on the witness stand, if he loved you, why are all these bad things happening to you? Answer the question. And you're scared. And your faith is on trial. And you have to say, as Job did, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then another trial comes upon you. And you're afflicted. And those around you, like Job's wife, said, why don't you just curse God and die? Because you've got, not only did you lose everything, but now you've got boils. And you can say, and you answer them, the courtroom, by saying that there are bad things happen to good people. We've received good at the Lord's hand. Shall we not also receive evil? That's what Job said. And in all that, the Bible says Job did not lose any integrity. That means he upheld the power of God. He recognized that bad things happen to good people in this world. Amen. And I want you to, let's go on. We're still in the courtroom. You respond after he says, curse God and die. I want you to think about this. The trial of our faith is a constant examination and cross-examination. The examination is the Spirit of God telling you that you're His and He loves you, and laying down the foundational principles of why He loved you and how He loved you. And the cross-examination is constantly coming at us from the other side, trying to shoot holes in that foundation. And the trial of your faith happens every day. And he says, why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just give it up? Why don't you just end it all right now? Many people succumb to the cross-examination. But another affliction hits you. And you said, just like Job did, in this life we've gotten good things. Shall we not also experience bad? But in the end, I know my Redeemer lives. And I'm going to see Him one day. That's what you tell the cross-examiner. When your faith is on trial, you say, I'm going to see Him one day. And the scoffers say, and the accuser of the brethren says, but where is the promise of His coming? What basis do you have to say that, to have any reason to believe that He's coming back, or that you will be with Him in glory? What reason do you have? And you reply, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. You count Him slack because He hadn't done it yet. And I count Him faithful because I know He's going to do it, because He promised to do it. And this examination and cross-examination continues throughout your life. You know how long it continues? You know how long the examination and cross-examination continues? It continues until the defense says and declares, the defense rests. Then it's over. When the defense says, I've done with my case and I've rested, I've laid everything out and there's nothing else to be brought, this court is adjourned. And the judge says, welcome home, son. Amen. Welcome home. I want us to remember that our faith is on trial, and the only faith that will withstand the scrutiny of the examination and cross-examination is the faith that says, I am God's and He is mine. The only faith that will stand the scrutiny of the day-to-day rigors and persecutions is the kind of faith that rests in Jesus Christ, that believes that He's the Son of God. The only faith that can stand is the kind that rests in His finished work and in the work that He came to do. The only kind of faith that will stand the scrutiny is the faith that trusts in Jesus Christ, who paid the sin debt and came to die for the sins of all of His people, not a one to be lost. Amen. That's the only faith that can stand the scrutiny of the examination and cross-examination. It's the only faith that will be able to reply against those that would come against the accuser of the brethren, the Satan himself even, and the scoffers. It's the only kind of faith that can answer them. That faith that says, my Savior died for me. He bled and died for me. That kind of faith that says, I know that He was buried, that He died on the cross, that He died for the sins of all of the people that God sent Him to save. That faith that says He is a Savior. That's why they called Him Jesus, because He saved His people from their sins. The kind of faith that rests in Jesus Christ, the epitome, not the epitome, but God manifest in the flesh. That kind of faith that says that even though I've got persecutions, afflictions, and torments in this life, that's going to stop and Satan can affect me no longer after I'm gone. That faith that says, I believe that Jesus Christ was buried, but I also believe that He was risen from the dead. And that faith that says, that remembers that Jesus says, as He ascended up, and they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? For He shall return, this same Jesus shall return in like manner, coming in the clouds of His glory. The same kind of faith that believes that when He ascended, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That same faith that says He sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high, and He rules in His kingdom today and yea forevermore. That same kind of faith that says if He rose again from the dead and God rose Him from the dead, that He accepted His offering on my behalf because I couldn't do it on my own. That kind of faith is tried, my friends, every day. No. Yes, it is. Whether it's a small trial or whether it's a tragedy. Thank you. Whether it is a conversation with a friend who doesn't agree with what you say, and ask for a reason of why you have this hope within you, and you give it to them and they scoff at it. It's tried every day. Or whether you've lost a son, lost a loved one, maybe lost a child. That faith is on trial every day. What will your faith answer? How will you respond to the scoffers? How will you respond to that little voice? Because we're not in a real, like a physical courtroom every day, are we? I hope we're not. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a judge. I'm just a defendant. But that trial goes on where? Every day. Where does that trial go on? That trial, my friends, goes on in our mind and in our hearts. Most people don't even know what's going on that you meet every day, do they? They don't know. But you know. You're going through a trial and nobody else knows about it. Most of the time, the trials we face in life, nobody else understands what we're going through. But you still respond, don't you? You're still called to the witness stand, even if it's in your mind, aren't you? You still respond. You still are going to be cross-examined by the accuser of the brethren. He plays with your mind, doesn't he? He can get you to think things. He'll try to get you to deny your faith in Jesus Christ. He'll try to get you to deny the promises that He made you. I mean, Peter said, the scoffers say, where's the promise of His coming? He's not making good on His promises. And you respond, just because He hadn't done it yet, don't mean He ain't going to do it. I want us to remember that this trial goes on until we die. Every day. But I want you to also realize that just because it stopped for you doesn't mean that it has stopped for other people. When you die, that trial is still going to be happening for other people that are alive and remain. The defense has rested for you. But one day, oh, and I tell you, it's not too long, I don't think it's too long from now. The examination and cross-examination seems to be happening more prominent in the world, doesn't it? A lot of cross-examining going on in there. But there's also a lot of examining going on. One day, my friends, I want you to realize and remember that after all of this back and forth goes on the world stage, not just the stage in your mind, on the world stage, One day, the defense is going to say, the defense rests, and the gavel will come down, and he'll take his people home. Because they have been justified by his blood. He's going to take the ones that he loved home. He's going to take the ones that he paid for home. In body, I mean, not just soul, not just spirit. He's going to take all of them home. Every part of them, not one gene, not one bacteria, not one cell is going to be missing. They're all going to be with him in glory. And we'll hear Jesus say to the Father, "Here am I and the children which thou hast given me." And I don't know what it's going to be like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. "Then the Son himself shall also be subject to him, that God may be all in all." I think that means that we're going to see him as he is. I think that means that we're not going to see a whole lot of differentiation between the Son and the Father, but that we'll see them as they are. I don't know if I can explain that. Maybe how they were before the foundation of the world. I don't know. Before he was manifest in the flesh. I don't know. But all I know, I don't know much about heaven, but I know that my God dwells there. I know that the Son dwells there. I know that there's a throne there. And I know that the Spirit is there. And I know that there are ministering spirits called angels there that minister to him there, and they also minister to you. I know that there will be praises there. And I know that I will be satisfied there. Satisfied. How amazing. You know, when that gavel comes down, the sentence the declaration will be, they're free. They're free. And their sentence is life eternal with me. That's God saying that, not me. But while we live in the courtroom of our conscience, in the courtroom of public opinion, help us to remember what the courtroom of divine justice declared when he said, "They're mine, they're justified by my blood, by my grace. I've made them clean, I have set them free, and I love them." Let's remember that the trial of our faith happens every day. Let's not lose sight of how we ought to respond to to the cross examination. May God richly bless you. It's my prayer. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. Should any have the desire to come and be a part of this church. I love you.